B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Ram-a-lama, ding-dong, rock and roll is king.
Understand that, unfortunately, it's going to take a little bit of time in these because a couple of bad apples can make this challenge that much more difficult. For instance, we had somebody apply for unemployment for Tupac Shakur here in Kentucky, and that person probably thought they were being funny. They probably did, except for the fact that because of them, we've got to go through so many other claims that one person thinking that they were funny using somebody else's identity is going to make tens of thousands, potentially, of other people wait. It's not okay. We can't be doing that, and we shouldn't be doing that as we move forward. I owe somebody an apology tonight. Last night I spent a little bit of time talking about fraudulent claims holding us up. I mentioned an individual that had filed in the name of Tupac Shakur. I didn't know, and it's my fault, that we have a Kentuckian who goes by Malik, whose name is Tupac Shakur. I talked to him on the phone today. I apologized. I told him how it happened, but I owned it. It's my fault. He was gracious. I said, I'm sorry if I embarrassed him or caused him any attention he didn't want. He was very kind. He ended the call. God bless. And we're going to make sure that we resolve his claim. Malik, thank you for being so kind, and again, I'm sorry.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. And Rich, I was thinking about that clip, and I was wondering if it's in Kentucky. If those were the spawn of one of the stallionaires, chance or real? If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's from, what was it? I Love New York?
I Love New York. It was a spinoff of the Flavor Flav dating show, Flavor of Love, and there was a contestant on it that was just so dynamic. She needed her own show. Her nickname was New York, and so they did this show, I Love New York, and they found all these guys, and it truly is, I mean, in the pantheon of great reality TV, that's a top threer, right? I mean, I Love New York is, of all the reality shows that have ever been made, that's a top threer, right?
Is that the same one with Little Mac or whatever?
Midget Mac was season two. So, okay. Like, they all had different...
Okay. That season of I Love New York, so the Stallionaires were season one.
Yes, season one, that was Real and Chance. They were the brothers, and Real was – she gave them all nicknames, and Real was – she called him Real because he didn't really talk much, and she goes, you just seem just real. And he just – I don't think it was because he was real. I think it was just because he wasn't very intelligent.
He had flowing long like a horse mane, and it was funny. They were the Stallionaires because – their millions were wrapped up in horse investments.
Their rap songs were all about having horses.
Yeah, and do you have my favorite clip? Maybe one of my favorite clips in TV history.
I'll have to find it.
Find it because at one point she's like weighing the options of like two guys, and she's like, you know, so and so, he's got class, but I just love Chance's.
I love Chance's thuggish ways.
And so they were like a complete opposites. Like Real would just kind of just stand there and not say anything, and Chance was like a loudmouth. He didn't care. He'd pick fights with anyone.
He was Penn and Teller.
Of course. And like I think Chance made it to the final two, but she ended up picking Punk. I think Punk was a very large bodybuilder guy who actually in real life ended up marrying Jennifer Hudson, who you might have seen.
Jesus.
Well, she's the one who sang on the draft before it all started. But I mean, like, you know, married someone, you know, kind of non-reality. Well, I guess, no, she was a reality show contestant. What am I talking about? She became famous on American Idol.
He married a millionaire, so he's... but the best is that, okay, so they...
if you want to hear about setups, so they go, hey, we're going to have you have a romantic dinner on this island. And then they release this giant, like, lizard. Like, and then, like, well, it's like a gecko. Or, no, not a gecko. Like, whatever those big-ass lizards
are. It's an iguana.
Are.
Like an iguana.
Right, an iguana. So they release an iguana, and then what do you think Chan said? Oh, no, no, no.
Hell no, I don't want no iguana. Iguana, just running away from the iguana. Oh, it was, dude, it was, this show was the greatest. And you know, the Ringer has right now, they're doing this, like, reality show bracket. And it's like, you know, cast members on reality shows. And, like, New York got knocked out fairly early, like way too early for, I mean, she shouldn't have. Who did she get beaten by? But I mean, it's been like that show. If it was on right now, everyone would be talking about it. But it was on like VH1, so it was kind of buried. I know people liked Flavor of Love, but if that was like a Netflix show right now, it would be the just they got to re-release it. Like that could have an Office-like resurgence that a new generation would discover I Love New York and go, this might have been one of the greatest television shows in history.
All right, I got to find what's – because the greatest reality show in history is Jersey Shore, but the but that's a
– the situation right now is going up against Jay Cutler in what looks like the Sweet 16.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's really no question.
I mean, okay, yeah. So if you look back on the Jersey Shore, and I know I've had this conversation with Hardy, but if you look back on the Jersey Shore – you okay, so you know now that this season's not been very good, but if you look back to the like second in through like four seasons, you know now that the situation had a crippling opiate addiction. And if you look back to when they were in Italy, and you because they never mention it on the show, but if you look back when they were in Italy, the situation is out of it the entire time, to the point where he starts smashing his head against the cement wall and then ends up in a neck brace. So that is a oh, we got to do a break on this.
Yeah, New York got beaten out by Kristen Cavallari in like the final 30, like in the 32. Like that's insane. First of all, The Hills, whoever watched that, I mean, I know that was a big show, but I mean, what a stupid show. And that that one with Jay Cutler, like everyone freaked out about how great he was, and he was just kind of all like the same way Jay Cutler's always been.
There's these some of these people aren't reality show people
like who?
Jeff Probst?
Yeah, I mean Survivor, but he's not a character. Not, he's a host. Character. Well, okay. Well, there's count. Okay. Well, the way that they have it set up is that there's four
host
different
judges. Right, I'm here right now.
There's the headliners, which is people like Kim Kardashian, Snooki's in there. The host and judges. That's the one the Probst is in. The antagonists, like the bad guys, you know, Omarosa's in there, and then the sneaky MVPs, whatever that is, people like Jay Cutler, and that's where the situation sits right now. He was never a sneaky MVP. I think he was kind of like the headliner.
Well, Snooki was the headliner, and then the situation. Okay, so CT's easily going to win the antagonist. Because CT was such a douche that they put him on the Kroll show.
Okay, who is CT? I don't know who that is.
Okay, he was on. Oh God, he was on.
Was the Real World?
Real World, and he was like such like an incredible douche that he was like it was funny like a totally non aware douche. Like he had no, you know, introspection. He had no idea that he thought he was like really cool. It's actually pretty funny.
Okay.
And the Kroll show like used him for stuff. Like, cause he was such a douche. All right. So, okay. I don't know who Johnny Bananas is. I don't know who, right. Kris Jenner is. I don't know why she would be on there. Okay. So it's right now, how I look into the final four is a situation CT. It's obviously Snooki. And then I don't care, Gordon Ramsay.
CT, I actually saw some of the voting yesterday. CT had a big lead on Omarosa yesterday afternoon. I just happened by it.
I mean, Omarosa was extremely hateable. I mean, that yes. First season of The Apprentice was actually really good.
Yeah, but CT is was so you got to if you want to fall down a rabbit hole, get into CT. Like he would do curls, like. But I mean, if you don't have the situation and Snooki in there, you're crazy.
Well, they're both in there. I mean, well, Snooki's probably going to lose to Kim Kardashian, which is stupid.
I would agree.
Snooki's fantastic. It.
What's that?
Snooki's the original. I mean, Snooki was before the Kardashians.
I mean, maybe
the Kardashians are like a billion-dollar company. Snooks is just a She's one of the meatballs. Her
I mean, I agree. I don't know Johnny Bananas. I'm not quite sure who that is.
I don't
is.
Know who that is either.
It looks like, he looks like a Survivor guy because he's got a buff on his head. Yeah, I mean, the fact that New York got knocked out when she was one of the greatest. And you know what? I would throw the Stallion Heirs in there, and they're nowhere in the 64, well, which is...
Whoever did this is obviously a very surface person. They haven't really, you know, dug in, and they don't really know. I would question that they have done the research on what's going on with the real world, because you could even have Angelina in there.
You could have Mini-Me from the Surreal Life. Remember when they had that show?
Yes. Oh, Mini-Me was one of the great scenes in the history of reality television, where he gets drunk and pulls into like a corner and just goes.
So he went into a corner and just peed in the, like, this Surreal Life, if you don't know. Once again, there was a renaissance of reality TV for a while, and the Surreal Life was where they put all these like D-list celebrities in a house together. It was one of the Bradys. Peter Brady, Vince Neil, Corey Feldman, Mini-Me, Tracy Bingham. Oh God, who else was in that house? Oh, I forget who else, but I mean,
the
that's
one
really...
that Peter Brady married. Some reality store model lady.
Yeah, like America's Next Model or whatever. But I mean, at one point they were all drinking, and Mini-Me got loaded, and in the middle of the night, the camera was in the living room, and it's like dark, and you just see Mini-Me come rolling out, and he's naked. And he's on his and he's in his chair, and he goes over to the corner and just starts peeing on the wall.
Yeah.
And Peter Brady's like, "Man, I got to help you out." And so he puts Mini-Me to bed, and Mini-Me grabs onto Peter Brady's shirt and pulls him towards him and goes. And Peter Brady's like, "Dude, I don't know what to do here. Like, this is really." A strange moment. I'm not quite sure how to deal with this. And then he ended up going to bed. And, you know, that was one of the weirder moments in TV, just watching a naked Mini-Me go to the corner and pee on a wall. But,
yeah, I mean, VH1 really struck the sun when they were doing those. Because, I mean, let's not forget about the first season of Rock of Love.
Dude, Brett Michaels isn't on this list.
I know.
Rock of Love was fantastic television.
Maybe because the average person doesn't get Brett Michaels. Like, they don't understand, like, Brett Michaels, how he's... Like, okay, it's on one of the streaming services. It's on Hulu. To our audience, for all the people listening, except 14 during the quarantine, I go and watch Rock of Love. If you have any idea about, like, who Brett Michaels is and what's he all about...
You don't even need to. You just know he's
But to see him, like, when he walks, like, he just got off a motorcycle and, like, he, like, pulls up on a motorcycle and the dude, he's like, this is my bodyguard, Steve. But then I think the second time I watched it, I'm thinking, like, Brett Michaels is worth over $10 million, like... I don't know, but I'm like these women are like dismissing him, and I'm like, you'll never meet someone with this money again.
Oh, well, Bruins Luchador just tweeted us, and he's got a great point. There's no Ozzy on this list, like Ozzy Osbourne.
That was a great show too for the first couple seasons.
The first season of the Osbournes was unreal,
and it was water cooler talk. I mean, people would come in and talk about the Osbournes. Yeah, yep.
Do you remember that was the thing that got us a dump button? Because Ozzy came on the station that Fred and I worked on, and he was live on the afternoon show.
He was promoting. Axel and I interviewing him, yeah.
Oh, he was promoting the Osbournes, and he gets on there, and it is – how many F-bombs do you think he dropped in a 10-minute interview?
Well, it was him and Sharon.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he's Sharon, and he's like – he said every word, C word, everything. Well, she said the C word. And there was no dump button. And in our building, because we were not like, you know, corporate was in another place. And in our building, there was one person from corporate. And our studio door was just one big window. And the guy just walks up to the window and just slowly shakes his head. And it's like, what do you want us to do? We didn't get in trouble. It's like, what do you want us to do?
Are you going to cut off Ozzy Osbourne? I don't think so.
I know. Well, we don't have a dump button. I mean, what are we supposed to do?
By the way, apparently Jay Stu would be very happy. I'm getting a tweet that says, Rich, Punk from I Love New York is David Otunga, a WWE wrestler. So I guess he went on to wrestle now. So, Jay Stu, yeah. I'm sure, will be very happy about that.
He likes to put the reality stuff behind him. Now he's in the business of wrestling. Now he's his favorite move is the Punk, which is when he just turns you around and says, "You're my bitch."
All right. What do we have coming up, Rich? There's going on.
It seems like the Red Sox ticket holders might be happier than they were yesterday. On top of that, Gronk says something stupid.
All right. We will be back in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports Hub.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what is going on in the world?
Well, after jerking people around for a few months, the Red Sox ticket holders are finally getting some answers regarding refunds for canceled games. The Sox announced yesterday they are offering ticket holders the chance to get refunds, credits, or exchanges for games at Fenway that won't be played due to the coronavirus. Those options are currently being offered for any game scheduled between April 2nd and May 28th. So fans who purchased the tickets directly from the Red Sox can choose to get either a full refund, a credit to their account to be used during the next season, or they can exchange their tickets for a future game this season. Now, those who choose to exchange their tickets for a future game will also have the option to immediately select new tickets and complete the exchange online if they go online and do that. But as of yesterday, the Red Sox, they missed 13 games at Fenway Park. And as I was mentioning yesterday, up until this point, if you had those tickets, you were getting no answers. They were basically treating it as if the games were rainouts. And now that it seems that more than likely you're going to get hopefully some baseball, but not quite an entire season, they realize that you're just not going to get those games back. So let's just hope we don't have to do this all over again in a few months. Maybe we'll get the 100-game season that's being tossed around. And that would likely, Fred, I think they said July 2nd was the latest that they wanted to start. Once again, everything's movable when it comes to this virus. But you know what we were talking about? This is kind of interesting. You know what we were talking about, how weird it is that baseball was proposing splitting the league into the three 10-team divisions? Yeah. And we couldn't really figure out why, and I still really can't. I haven't gotten a good answer. I mean, if you're getting on a plane to travel, you're getting on a plane to travel. But I read an interesting article by John Tomasi yesterday where he makes a case as to why that would be a really good thing for the Red Sox. He said, quote, "The Red Sox would land in the East, a division with three standouts, three steaming dumpsters of rancid fish, one have-not, and an eminently navigable, three-team middle class, finish first in that mini-group, and there could actually be a wild-card game in their future." He said, listen, the Red Sox are unlikely to finish ahead of the defending World Series champion Nationals, the 106-win Yankees, or the 96-win Rays of last year, though Tampa's margin for error is always razor-thin, and the Nationals could experience a World Series hangover. But he said, either way, the competition drops precipitously. And if expanding the playoffs means taking the top four clubs in each division, right there is your path to October. He said nearly half of the division as presented won't even present a challenge. Of the seven clubs that failed to win 70 games last season, four of them are in the Red Sox division in the East, that being the Pirates, the Blue Jays, the Marlins, and the Orioles. He said the team in the East combined for just 790 wins last year, while the Central had almost 810, and the West a whopping 831. And the Central's way tougher. It includes three division winners. You got the Twins, the Braves, the Cardinals, as well as the Indians who killed it, and the Brewers who were in a wild card. Also, the West is really tough. I mean, you got the Astros in there, the 106-win Dodgers, the A's. Meanwhile, three of baseball's defending last-place teams are in the East, where the Red Sox are. So he said this whole thing is called doing the Red Sox a massive solid when it comes down to it.
I just don't understand it. I wonder if it's a gimmick because they're starting late, because the travel thing makes no sense.
Well, the only part of the travel thing that could make sense, but it's really grasping at straws, is that if you get an extra several games in because you don't have to give up an entire day for travel. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going West Coast, a lot of times they'll give these guys a day off in between. But if you're staying on the East Coast, that's the only thing that I could fathom why they would divide them into divisions. And that's just so infinitesimal of a difference. You know what I mean? Why they would do that.
If you're doing a West Coast trip, I mean, you're really only missing 2 days. Because you're flying out there, you can run through the... I mean, I can play San Diego, the Dodgers, and San Francisco and come right back. So how much different is the flight from... I mean, I know it's like a couple hours, but the flight from Miami to Boston or the flight from, you know... LA
Miami to Boston to LA, it's 2 hours. Because Boston to LA is about 6 hours, and Miami's about four, I think.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you're on a private plane.
However, if you just play your division, by and large, I think there's some merit to what Rich is saying. I mean, no one really knows what the schedule's going to look like. Is there really going to be a West Coast trip, or are they going to stay basically in their own division?
Well, you also have to give these guys a day off every once in a while.
But what I'm saying is you probably need fewer days off if you're in the East, if you constantly go to New York and Philadelphia. And yeah, that trip to Miami is a little longer, but it makes it easier. Now, in the West, you're screwed, like we talked about yesterday. Teams in Texas have to go out to L.A., and that kind of idea doesn't work all that much, or Seattle.
Here's the only thing I can think
of. The travel's not that bad.
John, this is the only thing I can think of, and this seems almost kind of like a scary proposal, but maybe it would be the case. We haven't seen it yet. But maybe they are worried that if for some reason in the middle of the season the flare-ups got really bad, that there might be a lockdown on certain types of travel. That it would be easier to get home staying on your side of the country than it would be if you were stuck in San Diego and you had to come back to Boston.
Yeah, the chances of them stopping private plane flights are infinitesimal.
I know, you're right. And I'm just, once again, I'm kind of thinking out loud here and trying to process, because even, you know, yesterday, and we'll have Dan Roach on, and maybe he has an idea, but, you know, we had Carrabas on yesterday. He's got no idea. He talks to the players. There's been no explanation to them as to why this would be the case.
It's a gimmick. And I just think it's a gimmick. It makes no sense. I mean, Dan said in my headphones, I mean, there's time changes, but the way they travel, it makes no difference. I mean, you're talking about a difference of 2 hours. So you know how you do the season? You make the schedule that you go out west, then you travel to the Midwest, you play your games there, you get a day off there, and then you come back east. If you're the Red Sox, and then and there you go.
To Dan's point about it being the time zones, the only thing I could think of with that would be if they're going to be losing gate and not having players in, maybe they said, well, if that's the case, then we're going to have to maximize the amount of money we can make off the broadcast of these games. And by having the Red Sox staying on the East Coast and not having a game that starts at 10 o'clock at night on the West Coast, that might be a way that these teams can make up making a little bit of the money that they weren't, that they're going to lose because
Yankees,
of not having fans.
Yankees especially.
Yankees too, like with the Yes Network and things like that. Like that's a justification. Once again, it doesn't seem like it would be big enough to divide them into all these different groups.
It cheapens the season. I mean, the season is an asterisk. It's like if the Bruins win the Stanley Cup.
But it was always going to be an asterisk. No, if you're going to have a shortened season, it was always going to be this way.
Yeah, but the choices are not – they don't have a lot of choices here, Fred, ultimately.
Well, yeah, you could play a shortened season.
Well, they are.
That's the choice. And so the choice is that we're playing a shortened season. And that the things were – and then we'll play a schedule where, you know, you make one – maybe – you know what? Here's an idea. Maybe your West Coast trip is you, instead of 3 or 4-game series, you play 2-game series. I mean, there's ways that you could do it.
The fact that there's never going to be a 10 o'clock game is appealing, you know, for me. I mean, that sounds awesome.
That's great, but it's also, you know, a sport that's been around forever, and they have their divisions, and, I mean, you get screwed if you're in – I mean, the East is a joke.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Well, that's good for the Red Sox.
It's great for the Red Sox, but I think what Rich is saying is certainly has some merit. You get as many games as you can in prime time on the East Coast. You don't have to worry about travel out to the West Coast, regardless of how long you spend on a plane, and you get as many games in as possible.
Well, listen, then they should do it every season. You're mixing leagues. You have a universal DH.
Special circumstances. This won't happen again, hopefully.
I understand the special circumstances. I think that the way they're doing it is completely unnecessary, and I think that the way they're doing it cheapens the season completely.
Well, the other news that came out yesterday involving baseball is that apparently one thing that will make Rochy turn that frown upside down is that, according to Jeff Passan, Major League Baseball has not canceled the minor league baseball season, contrary to reports.
Oh, great.
Unfortunately, I can't say the same about the Cape League.
Take me out to the ball.
Got
to
pour a little out for the Chatham Clams or
Chatham A's, I think it is.
The Brewster A's. Big Bats? Or
Brewster Big Bats.
I've been to like two Cape League games before because there's a playground.
Yeah.
It's essentially why you go, is just so you can hang out and do something while your kids run around. And so, yeah, I forget the name. The Brewster... I went to the Brewster.
Oh, it's the Chatham Anglers. I'm sorry.
Chatham Anglers, that's it.
The Wareham Gateman, the Kettleers from Katuit. Come on, Rich. Let's go.
I would go to
what is a Gateman?
Game.
I don't know what a Gateman is.
It's
you can ask Rochy.
Bateman's cousins. They changed.
Oh, Rich, I know. Wareham is the gateway to the Cape Cod. That's what it's known as.
So they're the Gateman?
I guarantee you that's why they're called the Gateman.
To the River Falmouth Sticks. Commodores.
That's this is right. Great. The Wareham Outlets.
Yes.
That's what they should be.
Yes.
They should just be the Zolax then.
Those are the Rentham. That would be the team in Rentham.
But doesn't Wareham have like the? Yeah, that's where everyone stops at the market basket.
That's not far from Rentham, is it?
Technically not the Cape, is it? Right.
Well, Wareham is. Oh gosh, I'm getting it all mixed up. Isn't right? You get right over the bridge, and isn't that where the big market basket is? And that's where the Bass Outlet is.
You might be right.
Okay. The market baskets. The Wareham market baskets. The Wareham cheap lobsters.
Yeah, there's nothing like going and having a couple lobsters to make you never want to have lobster again.
The best is when you – oh, Dan Roach, Brewster Whitecaps. That's, of course, it is
there
the Whitecaps.
I
completely
okay.
forgot. Yeah. By the way, there is a Bass warehouse there. Like, who wears Bass clothes still? Is that still a thing?
What do you mean?
Bass. Remember everyone used to wear Bass back in the day? Like in the 90s?
Named Bass?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The shoes, the penny loafers, wasn't that Bass?
I don't know. This is
it was like dad clothes.
Okay. A fashion trend that got beyond me. But are those Bass Pro? Oh, Bass.
GH
not
no
Bass
GH
Pro
Bass. Show. No. GH Bass.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember those.
So, oh, you see, that was a Georgia special. Everyone wore Bass.
Yeah, was it with kids?
Oh yeah, like they had like penny loafers. I think they were big. That you stick the penny in the shoes
to go with tough skins. Yeah.
Tough skins and penny loafers. You're best of both worlds. You're like preppy in West Virginia. Ow, my back. All right, Rich, what is going on? What will we talk about after the headlines?
Well, let's get to a little Rob Gronkowski news, shall we? He's in a little bit of trouble. He opened his mouth, said something, and got a little backlash for it.
That's right. He's going to get suspended for the season. All right, here are the headlines.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, Rob Gronkowski. Major trouble. Major trouble.
He might have said something not so intelligent. Well, because he's Rob Gronkowski, and it was a day that ended in Y. This past Saturday, Gronk was on something called the Bud Light Seltzer Drafter Party when he was asked about Joe Burrow learning the Bengals playbook, and he said that he had the Tampa Bay playbook for nearly a month.
I mean, Joe Burrow has been working with that playbook for weeks, he says, right? He might challenge to start right away. Cleveland got better.
I mean, anyone can say that. I was in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playbook 4 weeks ago, and I wasn't even on the team.
Why didn't you tell me before the other day?
Don't fall for that.
All right. Well, that was high quality. Well, I mean,
I know. Listen, it's like Jesus.
This is the time we're living in. But Bruce, I mean, it is kind of funny. Bruce Arians straight up saying that he wanted Tom Brady at the combine. Brady, quote, picking up his playbook with two giant duffel bags with him.
Tom.
I know. And that guy going nuts. And Gronk saying he had a playbook a month ago. It certainly looks like things haven't been on the up and up. But honestly, who truly cares? Because I don't see the – it's like one thing after the next. And you're like,
Gronk
okay.
is so good. I love Gronk so much. I'm going to miss him. He's great. He's like, that's every other word out of his mouth. Oh, it's great.
But I mean, listen, it truly, in the end, it only matters to one guy. I mean, I know that guy, but I don't see the Patriots being petty enough to file any tampering charges, and the guy wasn't going to play anyway. But last night, Gronk defended himself on the old Instagram, because that's where everyone likes to do it now, and it had a picture of him holding a package he just received in the mail. I'm guessing it's probably something inflatable for the backyard, but underneath it,
it's light braids.
Sure. Well, he did talk about how he was like really into puzzles. He said, "Seriously, this is a story."
That's how he's keeping his brain sharp. He
that's
said.
It. Yep.
He said,
that's
you know,
it.
I'm doing. I'm getting into reading not books, but like short magazine articles. I'm doing a puzzle. So yes, he was really working that brain.
So he responded to this by saying, "Quote: This is seriously a story. LOL." I was just joking around with Sage, as I was pretty much the whole time that night when I was co-hosting the show. Wowzers. My co-hosting skills on point. I like the fact that he used wowzers, to be quite honest. That word
is
used
Inspector Gadget, right? That's Inspector
wowzers.
Gadget.
Yeah. Go Gadget wowzers. Yeah. LOL. Another LOL. He's over-LOLing, though. It's the only problem. I actually just received my team-issued Surface today from the Bucks, and it's still in the package. And then there's a package emoji, in case you didn't know what a package was. And he said, and hoping it is all...
Is it a eggplant?
Yeah, right. It's just nuts. It said, I'm hoping it's all pictures and drawings, two crying laughing emojis. I'm pumped to open it one day, hopefully soon, and follow the arrows to learn where to run. Gronk run, Gronk catch ball, no playbook needed, he. So he is saying
he was cackling laughing. I mean, he's using laughing emojis, crying laughing emojis,
he. Well, in the meantime, CBS have finally officially announced and released pictures of the new game show that Gronk is going to be on called Game On. Described as a, quote, comedic game show, Game On will be hosted by Keegan-Michael Key of Key & Peele fame and produced, Fred, by your favorite guy, James Corden.
Yeah, it's the guy from Key & Peele that's not nearly as funny. And then it is, but he's from Detroit. And then James Corden now has got a little media empire. It's called Man Boobs. His company is called Moobs.
Moobs.
Instead of a cat going meow, it just goes.
it's like a sandbag hitting the ground.
Oh, look at this. We're going to have a game show.
Well, the show pits two teams of three, captained by tennis champion. This is what the quote is of the press release. The show pits two teams of three, captained by tennis champion and entrepreneur Venus Williams and Super Bowl champion Rob Gronkowski, alongside comedians Bobby Lee, Ian Carmel, and rotating sports stars, comedians, and celebrities against each other in over-the-top physical challenges, absurd trivia, and epic field competitions. That sounds like Double Dare for adults without
Robin,
the slime and the awkward
Robin,
kids that can't
Rob,
walk up the
I
slime.
I have an idea for you. Maybe you didn't take off your shirt.
Oh, then you climb through this peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Just look the other way. I'll take care of the sandwich later.
Can I smell? Rob goes through this sandwich. I'll be taking this home.
So it's going to premiere the show Game On with Rob Gronkowski Wednesday, May 20th. at 8 o'clock. I mean, my kids have now, because once again, you're just trying to find anything. You're reaching the end of television, and we discovered Wipeout, and they can't get enough of it. So this sounds to me as if it is the definition of summer replacement programming, this game on show.
Watch not 1 second of it. Not one second.
It's awesome because if you're trying to figure out like what your kids will be into, just think of the most disposable summertime shows. And like Mike, it's a hit. Like remember the putt show that came on last year? Holy moly!
That's a Steph Curry thing. Yeah,
dude, my kids loved that show.
Really?
Here's the problem with that is if you expose them to that, then it will be on the television.
See, I don't mind like Wipeout. Is fascinating to me because, you know, there's all these wacky sound effects when these people like smack their heads up against these things that are, and I'm watching it as like, you know, a guy going, dude, that guy's spine probably just got wrecked. Like, I mean, just because you put a boring sound effect doesn't mean that you might have like fractured this guy's like back or arm. Like they're bent in all sorts of weird different ways. And I'm wondering, you know, how many of these people actually had to go to the hospital after Wipeout is filmed?
I just hate those shows. American Gladiator makes my skin crawl. I hate them.
I don't mind the competition part. Like I'm into that. I'm stupid, and maybe it means I'm simple because I want to see that guy get to that point from the beginning of the ramp.
No, but
the stories behind the scenes, it's like the draft. Like I don't need to know your backstory. Just
no.
The
announcers are unbearable. Unbearable, and they've been told to act like that, obviously, but that's the thing about these shows is that once you tell your kids about them, then they want to watch them, and then they're on. We're all trapped in my living room's not exactly, you know, a castle, so we're all trapped in there, and if you put that stupid show on.
Fred, they need to bring back Hole in the Wall. Remember that one?
Yeah, that was that's like a Japanese one that they took they took and put it over here.
If that lasted more than two episodes, I would be surprised. It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen, but it was so dumb that it was great.
It was
basically
better than Wipeout.
Because no, Wipeout's all right. I don't mind Wipeout.
Like, Hole in the Wall was so dumb and they acted like it was very cerebral. So what would happen is that you were like on like a conveyor belt sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
And then the things would come at you and you had to contort your body to fit through the hole.
It was a wall that was shaped like a person. Like it would be like a person with their legs straight out. So in order to fit through the hole and the wall would come towards you. And in order to fit through the wall, you had to stand in the exact way that the wall was. And then if you didn't, I don't know what ended up happening. But
you got knocked.
It's like a chalk outline almost. And you had to fit through the wall. Once again, I don't know how you have more than two episodes of that. But for the 15 minutes I watched, look, he got through the wall.
Well, you just think of the guy who's like, you know, just throwing money in the air and saying, I made Hole in the Wall.
I want to see the version that was filmed at Truck Stops of America. That's the one I want to see. Hole in the Wall, the real Hole in the Wall.
Yeah, it's like, hey.
Anyone want to guess? Side? You want to guess how many episodes of Hole in the Wall there were?
10.
How many?
10 in the first season.
Oh, yeah, baby.
There's more than one season?
Apparently, yes.
Okay, I need to find that.
Okay. I'm looking at IMDb. Apparently, there was more than one season.
Okay, well, that I might have to check out. Well, there you go. What a party. Game on with Rob Gronkowski coming this May, and I'm sure my kids will be all in on that. And speaking of all in, here's a transition. Tom Brady maybe making strangers all over Tampa Bay fawn for him when he walks into their houses. Yeah, I know, but the amount of money he just raised for COVID-19 is really no joke. I know. You're still fawning over him. The All-In Challenge, which was that auction series that had athletes and celebrities all over donating their time and services. They had many of their big ticket auctions end yesterday, and Brady's ended up fetching the most money by far. So you remember the prize that he was offering was you got tickets to Brady's first home game as a Buck. You get to keep his game-worn jersey. You get to have him randomly walk into your home unexpected. And you end up going to dinner with him afterwards. The winning bid for this? What's that?
What a nightmare.
I know. I think it would be interesting, but I get what you're saying.
Is just a nightmare. I mean, just sitting there and knowing that you paid $800,000 to sit with the guy and all he wants to do is get out of there. that sounds like the worst. Well, you could go, yeah, but yeah, it went for a lot of money.
Yeah, $800,000.
Well, guess what? Guess what the best-selling NFL jersey is in the in Boston, in New England, Massachusetts?
Brady Tampa Bay jersey.
You got that right, Jack.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. That's insane. By comparison, dinner and golf with Peyton Manning ended up closing at a whopping $525,000.
That's even worse.
Yeah, because dinner you can be done in probably an hour and 15, hour and a half.
You got to do both. So playing golf, I mean, if you're not playing quick, you know he doesn't want to be out there playing golf with you. And then that's just like standing around. Then there's the pressure to keep things moving. Yeah. So, yeah. That. And then what are you going to talk about? What are you going to talk to him about? So say the round's 5 hours because you're out at Pebble Beach, right? They're playing Pebble Beach.
Yeah.
Say the round's 5 hours, 4.5 hours. Then you go and have dinner, which is like you say, another hour and a half. I wouldn't want to spend that much time with anybody, let alone someone I had to pay to. It's like a prostitute. It's like you're paying to hang out with someone.
You know,
like a lot
of
money.
I would say for that long, there might be a list of 5 celebrities I'd want to do that with. And they'd be random ones. They wouldn't even be like, you know, I'd want to do that with Willie Nelson. I could spend 5 hours with Willie Nelson. Just because I know so much about the guy, and he seems like he's got a million great stories. I would just ask him about the old days. There's like weird, like music producers. Like, to be quite honest, I'd love to sit down with Rick Rubin for 5 hours. Like, so because all the people he's dealt with.
Drive you crazy.
He probably would. I know he's kind of a weird dude, but I could do that. But then some of my favorite people I want to meet, I pretty much only want to meet for 10 minutes and leave.
You know who Rick Rubin released an album for? A reissue.
Who?
The band Suicide, whose song we played Tommy Teardrop.
That's right. Frankie Teardrop. That's
Frankie
right.
Frankie Teardrop.
20-year-old Frankie.
He actually got this album re-released.
Good for Rick Rubin.
That horrible song is considered like this underground classic that's haunting.
I know. That is weird. There's no one you could spend 5 hours with. There's no celebrity that you would just like to hang out with for 5 hours and
there
talk.
Is that if I didn't pay for it and like it was organic, but
that's
that I
fair.
Would pay, that I, oh, yeah. That's no, that's it's not hanging out with the guy. I mean, if I met a guy and we got along and then ended up hanging out.
No, but if you knew that it was like an obligation that they had to be with
no.
you.
Oh,
man, see, there's a couple more. It's very few. It would be a very, very short list.
No, because there's no one that would want to hang out with me for that long. And then the whole time I'd feel like I was paying a prostitute. It's like I would have a lot of problems right now with a prostitute because I would know that they would take a look at me and they'd go like, oh, God, let's get this over with. And I'm not joking.
And you're right. Like, the more money you spent, the weirder it is. Like the fact that this guy spent almost $1 million to sit with you, you know, that would make me feel really uncomfortable. But then again, Brady deals with people like this probably all the time. You know, I mean, as you said it best, Fred, you know, there's these princes and people who own entire countries who probably just send Giselle and him over there just so they can be in their presence and probably, you know, donate tons of money to whatever charity or some things like that.
No. The princes look down at Tom Brady's my point. Is that he's married to one woman who, like, one of the few women in the world whose friends, whose peer group is superior to Tom Brady. Because mm-hmm. I tell you, they're like, hey, what do? You throw a ball around to you. Like, they're, you know, they're international art dealers and, you know, they're dealing with the King of Siam.
Right.
And like, oh, you play American football. Okay. But yes, I would feel like I was with a prostitute that didn't want to be with me.
Unless it was like a Kim Jong-un situation, how he was obsessed with the 90s Bulls teams and the way he got like Rodman over there.
Yeah, but he didn't. But he wanted Rodman there. Brady doesn't want to play golf or eat with you. That's the last thing Brady wants to do. You don't want to eat with you. The other stuff is fine. I go to the game and, you know, all and take the memorabilia and everything. But the no, you paid $800,000 for a night with Brady. Ugh. And then but you could also work out.
Oh, yeah, another option. Dinner or workout.
Oh, well.
I'll take the workout. Let me spot you. All right, so we'll be back in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Hutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.